What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From Alegrías, Mexico's most ancient candy, to elegant, sweet, and creamy Vice Regal flavors and the candy chiles that burn your mouth.
Let's talk about the evolution of Mexican candy and Halloween. My name is Eva Longoria.
And I am Maite Gomez-Rejon.
And welcome to
Hungry for History,
a podcast that explores our past and present through food.
On every episode, we'll talk about the history of some of our favorite dishes, ingredients, and beverages.
So make yourself at home.
Y buen provecho.
Wait, what is Vice Regal confection? What is, I've never heard that word in my life.
Vice Regal.
That sounds Spanish.
It is.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A meaning from Spain, not Spanish as in the language. Spanish as in from Spain.
Spanish as in Spain.
As
absolutely.
In the colonized vocabulary.
It is 100% the colonized vocabulary. So candies in Mexico start in the colonial period, which is also referred to this Vice Regal period.
So they
right?
didn't exist before that?
Well, there were sweets, right? There was honey and there was, you know, agave, right? But this whole idea of like a candy is something that's very European, really, like this. But this concept of making candies dates to the colonial period. Then it specifically can be attributed to nuns in convents, right? So we have all of these ingredients coming in post-conquest, sugar being one of them. Now, sugar is a big episode. We're going to talk about sugar in a separate episode.
That's a whole thing.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about festive Halloween and then get into the serious, you know, business of sugar. But sugar was coming into the country, and also all sorts of nuts and dairy and fruits like tamarind and apricots and just lots of different flavors. So really Mexican cuisine was invented in colonial convents, but candy, sweets, can also be attributed to nuns in colonial convents.
Well, it's definitely colonization because candy in itself was invented by the Egyptians. Egyptians, Arabs, and Chinese. They were the first to mix nuts and honey.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Egyptians. Yeah. Definitely the Middle East.
The Egyptians were, and the word candy derives from an Arabic word, kandi. Mm-hmm. Meaning made of sugar.
Yeah.
Q-A-N-D-I, candy.
The Middle East, yeah. They were the masters of
candy making.
Candy making. And
it's interesting because I've been to the Middle East several times and it's like dates. You know, like, yeah. It's not a lot. I don't see a lot of candy over there. Like Mexico, when you go to Mexico, you can't walk in the street without seeing the stand of Mexican
of
candy.
Yeah, they're yeah. everywhere. They're everywhere. Yeah. But this whole concept of mixing sweet and savory and making fruit, the conserves and things that, you know, have dates and dairy, and that was brought over. It's definitely a Middle Eastern thing. Mm. And all of the Islamic countries, and then the Moors from North Africa brought that concept over to Spain, and then that came over to Mexico.
Interesting. Right?
So that's when we start seeing in these colonial convents all of these sort of nutty, creamy, like marzapans and all sorts of different flavors that were cajetas, right? Mm-hmm. The sort of milk-based sweets with nuts or candied fruit.
Right.
And that's definitely a Moorish influence that developed here.
We're talking about chocolate as a candy. This is a little bit separate, but like chocolate mm-hmm. and the cacao bean was already in Mesoamerica for a while. The milk wasn't integrated until the Spaniards brought the cacao. And so that milk chocolate and the sugar was added with the Spaniard, with
later.
The colonization. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Even though chocolate was around, it wasn't the sweet, it was bitter. So more than talking about chocolate, we're talking about these candies. You brought some today.
Yeah. Did
you?
I brought some candies. Those are
I grew up with this one. Pulparindo.
Those are different. Those are much later.
This is where we grew up.
This is where we grew up. Did you grow up with these candies?
I did.
Chile candies?
You know what I grew up with was
this
that.
This is what I'm talking about.
What is that?
This is a milk candy and pecan roll. This is from Monterrey.
Pulparindo. So it's tamarindo.
With chile and sugar.
And salt.
And salt, yeah.
Definitely salt.
Those are modern candies. Those are the candies that we grew up with. This, like what I have here, I have this little roll. It's a milk candy with pecan. This is what I'm talking about. These are the Vice Regal flavors.
Where did you get this?
You know, I have all sorts of weird stuff in my pantry.
How long has this been in your pantry?
Not long at all. Because my mom, not long. My mom is always sending me stuff. She's always going to places and she sends me boxes.
I can't open this.
Of all sorts of. So that probably has only been in my pantry maybe a couple weeks.
Okay, it says.
I promise.
Dulce fino. It says milk candy with pecan roll.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's in
That's
the center
from Monterrey.
Of it? What's in the center
it's
of it?
It's just like cajeta, basically. How is it?
It's like.
Like, have you ever had
it's like a pecan pie.
Let me see.
Or a pecan pie.
Yeah, it is.
It's a pecan pie in a roll.
You can't really taste the inside.
Mm-mm. I just taste pecans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bound together by sugar, for sure.
For sure.
But what does Vice Regal mean?
The viceroy is a representative of the king of Spain. So when this is during the colonial period, so this is a Vice Regal period.
Next called Vice Regal Confection.
Yeah, you can call them Vice Regal Confections. And that was these, you know, conserves, these candies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making
these. Oh, really
these,
good. Mm.
It's so good, right?
Oh, my God.
It's delicious. Every region, right, every convent had a different specialty. And it's like the nuns from Puebla or the nuns from Morelia or Querétaro, they have the different specialties.
Mm-hmm.
But they made custards and candied fruits and, you know, sweet potato, mazapán, right, or camotes, cajeta. And then they had these interesting names, like suspiros de monja, like nuns' sighs, or like lágrimas de obispo, these bishop's tears. I remember these lágrimas.
Bishop tears.
And they were these little, you can still buy them. They're these little sugar pellets that you bite into them. I remember my mom used to go to Mexico and bring them back when we were kids. You bite into them and it's like this water, like sort of popped out and they tasted like anise.
I don't like anise.
Yeah.
No.
I have a love-hate relationship with anise.
Mm-mm.
I love this one. Huevos espirituales, spiritual eggs. Hallelujahs. So each convent had their specialty. So this was the kind of flavors that were being made. And there are different candy stores in Mexico that really keep these flavors alive. And wherever they sell these chile candies, you also see these other candies, the glorias. And
The glorias, which is cajete.
Which is cajeta with nuts.
What's cajeta? What's the word for cajeta?
Cajeta.
Caramel?
It's made with goat's milk.
Really?
It's goat's milk and sugar.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I've made it before. Oh my gosh. It's basically goat's milk and sugar and you just cook it until it becomes.
But why is it brown?
Because it's like caramel.
It's a caramel.
So you just cook it until it just becomes this brown. I love cajeta.
What's the thing with the two white wafers?
Oh, those are the obleas.
What's the one that like dissolves in your mouth like a communion wafer?
It is a communion wafer.
So definitely made by the nuns.
Definitely. I have a bunch of, I should have brought, I didn't think to bring, I have a bunch of the communion wafers in my pantry.
What? How do you have communion wafers? You can't have communion wafers. That's like they're locked up in the thingy, in the altar thingy.
I bought them at a candy store in Mexico. I just have them. Yeah. It's so weird. And sometimes it's like, oh, like a little, wait, I don't know. So I'm just weird.
That is so funny. So it has, so Mexican candy has a huge religious background.
Huge. Absolutely. 100%. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, I visit a candy museum in Michoacán, Mexico. That's after the break.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Welcome back to Hungry for History. I was recently in Michoacán, Mexico, where I visited a candy museum, and here's a taste of my experience witnessing the colonial candy-making process.
I'm at the candy museum, Museo del Dulce in Morelia, Michoacán, making a quince paste, and you can hear the quince and sugar simmering in a copper pot. and it smells amazing. Que ricardo. Okay, now I'm about to taste this incredible candy, ate de membrillo, which is a quince paste that we just made. And it's sweet and a little bit sour. And it's this beautiful, creamy texture. I'm dying right now. So amazing.
Es delicioso. Oh, what is that one? Did you eat
that? Did you have these growing up?
I had them. I had them, but what is it? I didn't eat them. Oh, chamoy.
Chamoy, right.
What's
so,
chamoy?
So chamoy, yeah. So that's super interesting. So all of these ingredients are coming in, right? The sugar is coming in and everything is being sort of brewed in these copper pots and the convents. But it's the Manila galleons, right? These are these routes, these ships that are coming from Manila in the Philippines, which was also a Spanish colony, to Acapulco in Mexico. And they're coming back and forth for hundreds of years. So they traveled between Acapulco and Manila from 1565 to 1815, right? Mm-hmm. So for over 300 years, these ingredients were coming back and forth. And so Mexico was linked to Asia, which was linked to Europe, basically
backwards,
global,
yeah.
You know, global trade.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when we start seeing ingredients like apricots, and we start seeing tamarinds, and we start seeing mango, and we start seeing, you know, different culinary traditions and different techniques. So the chamoy, so just in case people that are listening don't know what a chamoy is.
I don't even know what chamoy is. I've seen it in like ice cream paletas, like mango and chamoy, and I love it and I get it. But what is chamoy?
What is it?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It's red.
So basically, it's red, it's sweet, it's spicy, it's salty, it's made with dried plums or apricots, tamarind. Sometimes it has mango, which is native to India.
Mango's native to India?
Mango's native to India.
What?
Yeah. Mango's India. Apricots,
I had no idea,
are native to China. They've been cultivated as early as 2000 BC. Tamarindo is from Africa.
Oh my God.
But the word tamarindo comes from the Arabic tamar, meaning date, and the Hindi hind, meaning India. So it's native to Africa.
So it's a
but
date
it's been
from
cultivated
India.
From India forever. So often the name literally means Indian tree, even though it's native to Africa.
Okay.
So tamarindo. So we have, you know, apricots in China. There's this long history of drying apricots and salting apricots, like the chamoy, right? In Japan as well, the umeboshi, it's these sort of salted plums or apricots in sort of a brine. So there's this tradition of salting these fruits. And then tamarindo in India and Thailand, they have, you know, tamarindo, like they make candies with sugar, but with the tamarindo.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole idea of the chamoy, like what is this sort of chamoy? Because it's so popular. Different theories, and it's hard to pinpoint who, when, you know, where.
Yeah.
But it definitely comes from this sort of, you know,
Trade route.
And those trade routes existed even before the Manila Galleons with the Silk Road, like bringing
the
these ingredients
road.
From China to the Middle East and then further west,
right.
You know, from China, you know, all the way west to Europe.
Yeah.
But some credit these Chinese snacks called Li Hing Mui, and I'm probably mispronouncing this, so I'm sorry. But also in the Philippines, they made these pickled apricots called champoy.
Oh, okay.
So maybe
here we go.
That's right. So, but it's
maybe
basically,
that's where the word comes
maybe
from.
Maybe that's basically where the word comes from.
Well, it's become a symbol of Latinos.
Totally.
I mean, if you are Mexican, you know what chamoy is, and if you're from Texas, you know what chamoy is.
So you grew also like this kind of candy.
I grew up with that, but I didn't eat it. We weren't allowed.
You
I only
allowed.
Ate the sugar thing.
The piloncillo.
Piloncillo.
Yeah.
My friends always make fun of me because I put chile on everything sweet. Mango, sandia, all my fruit, I have to put chile.
Tajin,
which we have. Why do Mexicans love pain that gives pleasure?
Even kids eat chamoy. I grew up with these candies, and it was like, I'm dying. And it's like, oh, you want more. I don't know, but it's one of those things. It's definitely not a Vice Regal flavor, but you have these different ingredients. You're just combining it with the chile. It's what people love.
Yeah. You know what I'm amazed about is the Japanese influence in Mexican cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Those peanuts They're like super Mexican.
Japanese
but
peanuts.
They're Japanese peanuts.
They're Japanese peanuts, yeah. They're covered with mochi.
Yeah.
My and the label is sort of this faux Japanese.
Yes.
So there was this Japanese immigrant who moved to Mexico in 1950. His name was Teikichi Iwadare, and he was the first person to introduce soy products into the Mexican market. He had a company called Proteina Soya. And he also started producing these umeboshi snacks that were basically chile and, you know, he was Japanese, so he was making these umeboshi, sort of drying them. It was basically, you know, chile with apricots,
right.
And sometimes he would use mango and salt and sugar, and he created this, and he called it chamoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a hit with kids, with teens,
everybody. Yeah.
With everybody.
Now, I feel like I said, Mexican candy is not for Halloween. Like, American candy is for Halloween. Like, there's American, there's a lot of candy that I only eat on Halloween, and I don't eat the rest of the year. But Mexican candy is year-round. But did you eat Mexican candy in Halloween? Or were you like, not really special. I eat this all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't really think of that. We didn't really, we weren't allowed to trick-or-treat.
You weren't allowed to trick-or-treat?
No.
Wow. Why? Because of... Because
my parents were paranoid that we were going to get poisoned.
Razor blades and the apples? Yeah. Halloween celebrated around the world. I don't think they celebrated that much in Mexico.
It's celebrated somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like trick-or-treat, but it's Queremos Halloween. And and they have both these types of the chile candies and glorias and just different candies. But it's definitely... It's being celebrated around the
but
world
it's,
more
it's
now.
It's basically the pagan New Year's holiday of the Samhain, celebrated by the ancient Irish Celtic tribes.
Yeah.
In the 10th century, All Souls Day was a day to celebrate, which was on November 3rd. This date has changed.
So yeah.
It was like All Hallows Eve, which was a Catholic celebration that was moved to November 1st?
Yeah.
In the 8th century?
Yeah.
So they're like, we're just moving this holiday.
We're just moving it, yeah.
So Christmas is going to be in July.
Exactly. It's all arbitrary. You know what? We don't like this, but it kind of looks like this, so let's put these dates together.
Okay, so that's what happened.
That's what happened, exactly.
And then the 19th century was the Irish immigrants that brought this festival to the United States or the Americas?
To the United States.
And that was October 31st.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would give soul cakes?
They're these little cakes. These like flat, they're almost like cookies.
Okay.
These like little flat cakes. Yeah. To say, you're giving me this cake, and by receiving this cake, I will pray for your people.
Okay. Yes. So when did candy become a part of these Catholic celebrations?
Well, people would make these cakes, right? And then during the Second World War, there were these sugar rations. So it was just, was difficult for people to make these cakes to give out. And then at a certain point, it became about a holiday with kids. So they decided to start this whole thing with dressing up and having contests and trick-or-treating. And then in the 1950s, it became commercial, like companies like Hershey's and Brock's, and all of these companies started making candies. And it was,
what about the candy corns?
The candy corns dates to the 1880s.
Wow.
They've been around for a while.
And that was first created by George Renninger?
Yeah.
And
American.
And he just did these small sugar pellets, and that kind of morphed into that candy corn?
Yeah. Yeah. They basically morphed into that.
And they were only popular because they were fall colors.
Yeah. They look like corn.
Yeah.
And they look fall colors. And now we have so many different things. But then it's like, oh, wow, this is such a novelty. And they became really popular. But then they became overshadowed with Tootsie Rolls and all of these other things.
No, it became overshadowed with like the
Snickers.
The commercialization that Hershey's and Brock's and Nestle capitalized. It's like the engagement rings.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
Oh, there's something happening here.
They capitalized.
Let's make money on it.
Exactly. And then the homeowners found it so much easier to just buy candy than make stuff at home.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the individually wrapped thing, when did that come into play?
That's Brock's and Hershey and all of those. It was the 1950s. So it's a really new
Yeah, because remember when
holiday.
You could go to a candy store and scoop up a bag of bonbons or a bag of this or that. And the individually wrapped thing.
Yeah. I remember individually wrapped candies, like going. I remember that in Laredo, there was this place called Mr. Candy, and we used to go and buy candies for Halloween because we, my brothers and I weren't allowed to go trick-or-treating, but we would sit outside and give away candy. So I remember going to Mr. Candy and buying, like, the sweet tarts and, you know, Tootsie Rolls and Snickers, all of those little bite-sized pieces, and giving them away.
Yeah.
We would dress up and we would give candy.
Yeah. When I was young, we would go to the rich neighborhood because they would give you full candy bars.
Oh.
Like a proper Snickers.
And wow.
We would drive all the way to
Ocean
the rich
Drive.
Neighborhood. Ocean Drive in Corpus Christi, Texas. Ocean Drive. Corpus. And they would give out the big candy bars. And I was like, yeah, that's where we need to go.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
When we come back, my friend, Dr. Elizabeth Moran, professor of art history at William & Mary, shares her thoughts on the ancient candy, alegrías.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Welcome back. In pre-Hispanic Mexico, amaranth was a sacred grain associated with immortality. In festivals to honor the gods, toasted amaranth grain was mixed with maize,
honey, and sometimes blood, and shaped into idols before being paraded through the streets, sacrificed into pieces, and distributed among the crowd to be eaten. The conquistadors regarded this practice as a blasphemous parody of the Christian communion and outlawed its cultivation. Today, these honeyed sweets, called suali in Nahuatl, are known as alegrías, the Spanish word for happiness. Here's my friend, Dr. Elizabeth Moran, professor of art history at William & Mary and author of Sacred Consumption, Food and Ritual in Aztec Art and Culture. She will share insights on this revered Mexican candy with indigenous roots.
My name is Elizabeth Moran. I am an art historian, and I focus on 16th century painted manuscripts and food rituals. Alegría is a sweet. It's amaranth mixed with either sugar or honey. Amaranth itself is a little sweet, but if you put honey, or they probably used something from the maguey plant, it would have been really yummy and really tasteful. It's actually much, much older than even the Aztecs. We know that indigenous people were using amaranth in many different ways. Everybody always thinks about human sacrifices, but in fact, what most people did in Mesoamerica was auto-sacrifice, offering of blood. But the Aztecs also offered a lot of foods, not just as an offering, but actually making objects, sculptural works out of food. And one of those foods was amaranth. And so it appears in really significant agricultural festivals associated with Chicomecoatl, which is one of the Aztec maize deities. It appears also with Huitzilopochtli, who is specifically an Aztec deity. He's their patron god and the god related to war, but also the sun. And it appears also with an old fire god called Xutecutli. It has mythological significance. So, for example, the Aztecs, a lot of their origin accounts talk about them bringing in certain foods. And there's four what they call first foods. Of course, one is maize, but the other one is amaranth. And that is significant. So what that tells us is that the Aztecs obviously weren't the ones that originated these rituals, that these rituals predated the Aztecs. If you look at 16th century manuscripts, both pictorial and kind of more ethno-historical, you realize that they are using amaranth for all kinds of things. So it's an everyday food. They use it to make tortillas, to make tamales, but it's also an elite food. So we know that the Aztec elite ate a particular type of tamale made or prepared with amaranth a certain way. Ironically, the Spanish friars tried to ban it in the 16th century, but obviously it didn't work out. The friars were very good at recording everything, and so they really understood that it was one of those foods that held special importance to them. And so they knew that it was associated with very sacred ideas, and they didn't want those to kind of continue. It's really interesting because there are other things that they could have focused on, but there must have been something really special about amaranth to get them so motivated to try and ban it. And the fact that it didn't work out is also significant. Well, I have to say that when I started my work, this was part of my dissertation, and then I was fortunate enough to publish it. It was not a subject for an art historian. And I think part of that is because people don't take food as a serious thing, but it is. And part of it is because food is so pleasurable. But we forget that food is part of not just our day-to-day existence, but it relates to our spirit, it relates to our mind, it relates to our identity. It is something that is just beyond pleasure. It's really significant.
What is this? Because Maite brought this candy that looks like quinoa.
Yeah, it's is it amaranth.
It's a cousin of quinoa, isn't it? Let me open
it. I bet
this.
They're related. But they must be related. Amaranth. It's an alegría.
What's an alegría?
Alegría is one of my favorite candies. Mm-hmm. And this little thing, right?
What's so the basically story?
It's amaranth grains, which are, if you could imagine,
quinoa.
Would you describe this as like, yeah, like quinoa, or like teeny, 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 tiny popcorn. But it's amaranth. But this candy has
where did it come from?
This is a pre-colonial candy.
Do they do this one like
like bars?
Flat. Or, like a
yeah.
There was something I ate with that stuff and it was fantastic.
You get it, yeah. Maybe that's what you get it round or flat. Sometimes it has pumpkin seeds. Mm-hmm. Like you get it with different things.
Yeah.
It's amazing. When you buy the amaranth grains, they're these little brown dots. Mm-hmm. And you put them on a dry pan.
Okay.
And they pop like popcorn. It's mm-hmm. like the cutest thing ever. There's like the miniature popcorn.
Okay, so that's why you're saying that popcorn. They pop. You cook them. You put them on a pan?
You put them on a pan. They pop. And then you put them with honey and you make them. But they have Aztec roots. And they used to, during different festivals, so they would basically take this, add honey, add blood, and then mold it into an image of, you know, a god. And then they would worship it, break it, and eat it. So this was considered blasphemous, you know, post-conquest. Mm. They saw this and was like, what is this? This is blasphemous. And amaranth was banned. They tried to destroy it.
It's not common to me. Like, I don't see it a lot.
But now it's considered sort of a health food.
Okay.
It's called Lele Diaz. Because when the little grains are popped, they seem like they look like they're dancing. I love the story. It's all about the story for me. It's all about the story.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the history of Mexican candy. Happy Halloween.
Hungry for History is an Unbelievable Entertainment production in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network.
For more of your favorite shows, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.